have a question for you. What do you get when you put a woman, who may or may not want a pet monkey, some heavy chains, a deck of tarot cards, a computer, and an astrological chart all in the same room?
Well, that's a really good question.
Besides a visit from PETA and a vacation in the sanitarium, you get resmerized.
You are in for some big trouble.
She is Resmiranda. She glimpses us and our futures and tells all every week on Resmerized. Get Resmerized live around midnight every time a Monday turns into a Tuesday. Only Resmiranda can resmerize you, and you can only find Resmiranda on Zero Point Radio.
This is Resmiranda, and you have been resmerized.
Before the jury started, they just commenced to look about. On me. The judge smiled as he picked up his pen. 99 years in the Folsom State Pen. 99 years underneath that ground. I can't forget the day I shot that bad bitch down. Come on, you gotta listen on to me. Lay off that whiskey and let that cocaine be.
Talking to Tamara Thorne.
Yes, we are.
She's you guys were good on the break.
We had so much fun.
Oh, yeah. It was
yes. Whew. Now I need a cigarette. No. Okay, now.
You guys are perverts, man.
All right,
I'm just sitting here trying to be all businesslike and trying to take care of business and, you know. And
I'm glad.
Couple of glands here on the radio.
We're trying to be good.
We see our point. You see, Tamara, there's rumors going around that Ghostly Talk's going to be going towards like more of a sex format. So.
Oh, I'm good at sex.
Well, we're going to get to
that. I write that all the time.
Yeah, we're going to do this writing here in a minute.
We do have to cite this. Yeah.
First, we want to tell everybody your website.
Yeah. So www.tamara, TAMARA. THORNE.com. TamaraThorne.com. Just how it's spelled. You can link to it from the Ghostly Talk site right now. We'll leave that link up for a while.
Yeah, oh, that's true. Okay.
So, yeah, if you forget the URL, just go to our site, look for Tamara Thorne. We have her picture up there, too.
Mm-hmm.
Which I dig that picture, too. I was trying to. That picture of, with your hair swishing over your face like that.
Yeah,
it
fits rather well.
No, it's a very artistic. It's a very creepy effect. Also, speaking of art, we were talking about that on the break. Your website. We just talked about a second ago. It's done by your webmaster Heather of Infectious Graphics.
Yes, that's her company.
Excellent website.
Oh, thank you. I think it's just beautiful.
Beautiful website. It's dark. I mean, it's very
almost.
What's that? Yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh, it's not quite finished yet, and we have a lot of new things to add. We'll be expanding the ghost post section and taking stories, you know, true stories from people, and the hero of Haunted, my book. That's an ode to haunted houses and is going to host that page most of the time. His name's David Masters.
Okay.
Oh, that's so cool.
Beautiful website, though. There is a lot of things, even though it isn't completed yet, which you never really complete a website.
I don't think websites are ever fully.
They're not. They're always a work
in
progress.
They're always evolving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's still a ton of information on there about you, about ghosts. You name it, it's on your site. So it's very informative along with just like getting your name out there and also explaining about your books, which you have many of.
So, Heather, cool job.
Yeah, nice job. Very cool.
Excellent.
Seriously, I've been wanting to tell you that for a while, so I'm glad I got that on the air. So check out Infectious Graphics. I don't have the URL, but if you go to Tamara's site, the link to it's on there. So
yes.
Check out her website also. Now, in your book, The Forgotten,
mm-hmm.
We need to discuss this. We need to talk, because you've been a bad girl.
I was bad.
You've been a bad girl. Now, Doug,
Oh, let me read it.
You have to read it, because I'll butcher it. I don't want to, because we have the writer right in front of us, and I don't want to get hate mail from her.
Oh, okay.
So,
okay.
I don't want to destroy it.
Let me try and do my best.
Now, this is at the end of chapter 54, right?
It's the last paragraph.
Yes, at the tail end of chapter 54. We need you to explain this to us, Tamara.
Okay.
So, first I want to read it, and then we're going to explain this and how it fits in with the overall,
the story.
Theory of the book, okay?
Okay.
Not just gratuitous sex.
Well, what do you know?
Oh, boy.
Pete Banning, sitting in his home office, watched Heather Boyd get ready for bed. The young woman with the to-die-for body didn't have the television or pajamas on.
Mm.
But she did spend some time with a large vibrator, relieving stress in the old-fashioned way. God, that's reverberating through my headphones.
Oh, that's so nice.
The cover's neatly folded back, so Pete had a front row seat. Pete saw stress released from her body 8 times. Then he forgot about counting.
What, is she a rabbit?
Putting away his own stress-relieving tool, decided he would have to pay a service call to Miss Boyd at his earliest convenience. Now it was time for sleep. He stood up, glancing at the clock. An hour remained before his latest broadcasting experiment would begin. It was an experiment Hitchcock would have loved. Okay.
Okay.
I'll be back in a second.
You give us this.
I have to go to the bathroom.
You're right. It's so, it's...
Hot! Freaking hot!
That's nothing. Wait till you see the sorority.
You give us...
Oh, the sorority. Oh, I didn't even read into that title.
In just that one paragraph...
You've melted down. You pretty much melted the paint off the walls of the haunted basement studio here.
And
it's been dirty though.
And it was not dirty. No,
it was nice.
I'm impressed. So how does that? Now that's just a little tiny paragraph. But the thing
we wanted to scare off half our audience.
Yeah. Right? So
the page, and there were some reviewers said, "Don't try page whatever it was. I can't remember."
So how does that fit in with the book? How does that, and of course people can go to your website undoubtedly and get The Forgotten, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean they can order
you can buy it in any store or order it if it's not on the stand or go to Amazon or darkdelicacies.com is where you can get them signed all the time. That's on my website too.
Oh, that's cool.
How it fits in is Pete Banning, he's a bad guy sort of. And he owns a cable TV company on the Central Coast of California where I set most of these books. And there's a whole lot of covert ops and stuff in there, too. And it's all based in reality, things that the military has done since the 50s, 60s, all sorts of experiments. And this is his experimenting that he's referring to is messing with the wildlife. And I don't think that's giving anything away because the book opens with him messing with the wildlife, the birds.
Wow.
Messing with their signals, the electromagnetic frequencies. And he has put cameras in a lot of people's houses in this little town called Caledonia, which is a lot like Cambria, which is where they filmed Arachnophobia.
Okay.
Ooh.
And Heather's one of the ones that he's cameraed, so he's watching her. And how that fits in is he's horny. How many is it?
There's a lot of technology then in your books.
Yeah, in this one.
I'm
not real good at technology. I had to read like 3 times the techno books to just get it into my head, write it out by hand and type it into the computer.
So you put a lot of research into this too, along with just raw.
I always research. Goofy, I've researched.
and so you like then you like to stretch yourself as well. I mean, you'll sit there and say, this book, it really needs something. It needs, and in this case, some technology.
That was the basis of that. I'd always wanted to write about the military messing around with people's minds. They used to release gases into the bay, San Francisco Bay, and the Great Lakes, all these places. And, just a little pneumococcal virus that won't hurt anybody, and a few people would get sick, and they claim they don't do it anymore. Bull. Dean Koontz tends to write about it a lot, too. In fact, his book that probably just went paperback, By the Light of the Moon, He covered the same area I did, except he went from the chemical injection standpoint of mind manipulation, whereas I went to the satellite distribution, you know, mind manipulation. And they're two sides of the same coin. I'll tell you, he did his homework, too.
Wow. Do you know him? Have you talked to him or emailed him?
Oh, I've met him, but I don't really know him. He's, you know, he's far above me.
Oh, man. Well, I guess there would be strata, even in, you know, especially in the publishing industry, you know.
He's very nice.
Cool.
Yeah, he just doesn't understand that cats are better than dogs.
Uh-oh.
You know what? I have to agree. Cats are better than dogs.
A new Ghostly Talk poll. Are cats better than dogs?
I think they are, because I live with two dogs, and I want to beat the heck out of them in 2 minutes. Cats just, like, they, you know what I'm talking about. Cats just, like, oh, hey, how you doing?
Yeah, they walk over you while you're screwing around, you know, in bed and all that. But a dog would sit there and offer to help, you know. Look at you like you're insane. And they go lick them.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
Bad.
That's what's going on. That's the actual dog talking.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
What's going on?
And you're like, okay.
I did that with the pillow the other day. Watch.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, I said something gross.
All right.
Yeah, now, were you upset by something I said about 8 times?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Oh.
I would hope you.
In fact, I commend you for that.
As a matter of fact, had it been 6 times or 12 times, it would have been, you know, less effective or unbelievable. But 8 was perfect.
8, yeah, just, that's a nice, nice round number.
It's absolutely perfect.
I think that's a basic minimum you should get.
Yeah?
Then again, you know, I'm married to Damien Thorne.
Ah.
I always get the minimum.
Oh, my God.
So when, so when...
I love you, Tamara.
When do you have time to write? No. Okay.
What the hell are we going to talk about? I totally forgot now.
Yeah, I'm done.
I'm done. I'm finished.
I'm never done.
Oh, my. So when
when are we getting kicked off of ZPR?
We haven't said anything dirty.
No, we haven't. We haven't. Not,
absolutely
no.
Not
at all.
So much fun. Well, okay.
You telling me?
Let's change just a little bit of topic here. When you go out ghost hunting, how often do you do that kind of thing? Do you tend to sense things? And I mean, you obviously a lot of stuff goes on around you. So. Do you sense when they're going to happen and when they're happening, or do they just then happen and you're like, oh, whoa, that was pretty cool? I mean, how does it happen for you when you ghost hunt?
I'm still in a dirty frame of mind.
I'm glad I added when you ghost hunt.
Tamara's stuck. She can't
get
out.
Or just how does it happen for you? That's what I want to know. How does it happen
I
for
hope
you?
My mom's not listening to this show tonight.
You know, she's going to call.
My mom.
I
can hear it now.
when you go out ghost hunting, what's it like?
Well, it depends on what I'm doing. Generally, I go with my husband, but he's good at making things happen. He tends to feed the energy a little bit. And so if you have a small cold spot, he starts messing with it, and it becomes a big one, and then he gets tired. And, you know.
Why is every single thing she
wasn't dirty. That wasn't.
It wasn't.
First time we did that was Whaley House, San Diego, and we found a small cold spot upstairs a long time ago, and he kept messing with it, and it turned into about the size of a beach ball. And then he was just exhausted. Yeah, you know, I had to sit down for half an hour or so and rest. And I don't feed the things, but he does. And I always try to go ghost hunting with somebody who does feed the ghosts because it attracts them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because it, one of the things that I believe anyway is that it all has to do with energies.
We discussed this the other night.
Okay.
And I want to talk to you about this also. I thought this was very important. We all have our own theories, I guess, about the afterlife or what this whole thing may be, a ghost, so to say. What is your take on it, basically? We have our take on it. What's your take on it as far as what a ghost may be or an apparition or whatever you want to call it? Do you have an opinion or a theory or any type of thing?
Yeah, I have leanings. Except for a deathbed image of my mother, that I saw when she died, and I thought that it was, you know, my imagination. I tend to see things, slightly sleep deprived. Except for that, I've never seen anything that I think could possibly have any kind of actual brains, intellect. But I looked up, saw her, and she was waving, and she mouthed the word boo. And my sister called an hour later and told me she'd died, and I started thinking about it and realized I didn't make that up.
Yeah.
It happened when I saw it, and then I remembered she always teased me when I was a kid that when she died, she was going to stop in and say boo before she took
really?
Me. Yeah, and she always said that because I was so interested in ghosts and, Mom, take me to the cemetery, that kind of thing. And so I don't know that that was her, but I feel like somehow or other she communicated a goodbye to me.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I've seen things that appear to be thinking, but I think they tend to be motivated by something human, some sort of energy. And I think there's tendencies toward positive and negative. I don't normally use the word evil.
Yeah.
Such a bad horror word. It's wrapped up in religion and stuff. Personally, I don't know what happens when we die. I tend to think we just do this a bunch of times until we get it right, but I don't know. Maybe we just die. But the apparitions, Houdini was always my idol when I was a kid. I liked how he would, show up. All the spiritualists who were fake.
That was his bread and butter right there.
Oh, it was awesome, though. I mean, it needed to be done.
Oh, it did, and it does. And some people think maybe he got carried away, and it's possible. I know sometimes I'll get too skeptical, or, beyond skeptic into debunking, and I have to stop myself. And skeptic is good. Debunking is bad.
Well, he even though he went around trying to, debunk psychics or, spiritualists at the time, and that's what he's famous for that. Yet his, he still obviously was a magician and interested in the, the genre of cool things happening.
To show him something he couldn't disprove.
Right. And they still have a, from what I understand, here in the Detroit area, because he died here in Detroit, they have every year a seance trying to contact him. Now, I don't know who they is or are, because they don't tell us. Nobody.
I think there's more than one group. It used to be his wife and some people, but, that's long gone now.
I know that, I think I'm going to make a fool of myself if I say this.
Go ahead.
Well, no, we did talk about Houdini on this show.
Yes, we did.
We actually had a whole thing. We did a whole, hour.
Yeah, because that was around the Halloween time, yes.
When he passed away, now, he didn't pass away from a blow, from a punch. Somebody, a gentleman was, he bet a gentleman, he's like, you can punch me all you want, it's not going to hurt me.
But that was up in Canada.
Yeah, that was a couple days before he came to Detroit.
A couple days before he came to Detroit, yes.
He actually died from that. His internal injuries he received.
Yeah, blood poisoning.
Yeah, from this guy, beating the hell out of him.
Basically.
And,
yeah.
Well, on his deathbed, though, I remember reading this. On his deathbed, he told his wife that, he was very upset. For one, he's dying. I mean, I don't think he'd be the happiest guy in the world at that time.
No.
Now, when he was passing on, he was dying, he did tell his wife. Now, his claim when he was, going around debunking people like this was, you're all full of it. I don't believe in any of this hocus-pocus stuff. You're all just trying to exploit this and make money off of it. But when he did pass away, he did tell his wife, I do have an interest in this, and I do actually believe that there is something going on out there. That you just have to weed through all the bad apples to get to it. And that's why I believe that his wife was the one that started these seances referring to.
At least she had thought that he told her, if at all possible, I'm going to come back and I'm going to...
Yeah, that was the big thing. And after a whole life of trying to debunk every psychic medium, you name it.
But he really wanted to find somebody he couldn't debunk. But yet he told his wife that, and that I like to think that maybe after he died, he decided, that would destroy the mystery.
And that could be because the magician is not supposed to give away his secrets.
No.
So
Houdini was the ultimate magician.
Yeah, and if
magician.
And if suddenly the secret, you don't want to give it away then. He would have been at odds with himself.
Exactly.
So
now, also, I'm sorry.
I don't think you can, with a big organized seance like that, you don't know what's going on either. excuse me. The times I've had things happen, I always think that I'm making up stories just like I do for fiction. I think I'm completely fabricating, and then somebody will say, oh, my God, how did you know about that? I didn't know about that. But as soon as you get organized or think about what you're doing, it goes away. And I don't know. I think part of the fun of it is not being able to completely prove, although I think quantum physics may help a lot.
Eventually, yeah.
That's what drives this whole practice or this whole, you know, it's never been considered a science yet, unfortunately, but that's what drives it, though, is the uncertainty.
Yeah.
You know, is the fact that we can't prove this. We're out, you know, we're doing a show every week discussing ways to try to prove it, and we still haven't done it yet. And we've been working on this, we're pushing 2 years now.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've seen things, I've seen things, a lot of people have seen things with witnesses where you know that it's not just you, you know, imagining things.
Right, there's stuff happening that is unexplainable, and it happens, it really does.
And then if you take the definition of ghost as far as I do, which would be, if you, in Haunted, I used this as an example, you go up to the trunk in Grandma's house, and you open the trunk, and you smell the ghost of perfume on an old handkerchief. That's a ghost, too. Or you walk through a amusement park that's, you know, closed, and you can almost hear things and smell things that aren't really there anymore. And those are ghosts.
Those are, yeah, reflections of the past coming back.
You know, that happened to me also when my Uncle Wayne passed away. He had a lot of stereo equipment. And me being the metalhead that I am, more speakers, the better, basically, you know.
Uh-huh.
And my grandpa was like, you know, he would have wanted you to have this stuff. And my Uncle Wayne always wore Old Spice. The cologne,
uh-huh.
You know, it's not very expensive stuff, but
no.
It's readily available.
And it's got its own unique scent, and everybody recognizes it, yeah.
Yeah, it costs, what does it cost, like about 50 cents for like 50 gallons of the stuff? It's not very expensive.
No.
But I know when I got this equipment, I could smell the Old Spice all around me. Yeah, it's got a very distinct scent. It's the Old Spice.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and I mean, we still do have it. It's in my parents' house. This equipment, you could still smell it. It was all around me, and I know what you're talking about because there are those things from, you know, when people pass away. They just, I mean, we all have our own scent. I know if you walk into someone's house, a different house. Like if you go to, like, we're on the street where the Haunted Basement Studio is on right now. If we walk into 10 different houses here, you're going to get 10 different scents coming out of the house.
Yeah.
For sure.
Because we all have our own scents, and we all have our own things we like to smell, or whatever, candles or whatever you have.
The cat boxes.
The cat boxes.
Yeah, those are wonderful.
Whatever you cook for dinner and
all
that stuff.
It's a cornucopia of scents that you would smell all this, and that's that person. And that, I guess if there's anything you can distinguish something from someone after they passed away, it would be a scent.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the most it's one of your powerful senses,
yeah,
is the sense of smell.
And by far.
So definitely, you know, I mean, if you want to be unique, if you want to get a message through, if you can, that kind of experience, you know, manifesting a scent would turn heads. It would make people say, I remember that scent. You know, that was my mother, or that was my aunt, or that was,
mm-hmm,
you know, my uncle, you know, that kind of.
Well, the story at Mansfield, also Mansfield Reformatory in Ohio.
Oh, the scent of roses.
The scent of roses in the warden's the warden's area in the prison. There's a story at Mansfield that you could smell roses if you walk in there. And I didn't smell roses, but because the warden's wife liked roses. She liked to have fresh roses there all the time.
Right,
so there are those things.
Smell that, and it's out of place there because there's no furniture anymore.
No, there's nothing there at all.
So it's amazing.
Now, Tamara, you
told
us earlier.
Uh oh. What did you tell us?
No,
what did you tell us?
No, you said that there's another story you wanted to tell us about.
Oh, the apparition.
Yeah.
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 This was pretty recent. We had gone up to the Central Coast to research before I wrote the sorority last year, and it was last July, in fact, and we had stopped at La Purisima Mission, which is well known for its haunts, and we got some really good photos, you know, some orbs and things if they're real. But when we were coming home, we decided instead of just stopping for lunch, we were going to stop in a town we used to live in called Arcadia, which is in Southern California. And it was a taco stand we used to walk to all the time. We lived in walking distance. And it just got good burritos, really good burritos. So we drove and drove, and it was probably 3 in the afternoon by the time we got there. And, oh, did we have to pee. We pulled
out. Done that.
Just a little, it has a, you know, front door, a few seats inside. It's just a little stand. And in the back, there's a brick wall that's about four and a half feet tall around the door to the entrance, and then a men's room and a women's room, which are both airplane size rooms. There's just one door in and one, you know, just one door in each one. And so we got out of the car, and we kind of looked at each other because there was a guy ahead of us walking across the parking lot toward the restroom little gate too, wall, I should say. And he was a tall, elderly man, and we realized later we knew exactly what he was wearing. And he had good posture. And we went, my husband made kind of a, oh, God, look. So he stood there. The man went in. We saw him open the door to the restroom, men's room. And my husband stood there waiting in the only opening there was. I went in the women's room. I was back out in a minute or less. And my husband's still waiting and waiting and waiting. Some other guy comes along, and we realize it's been 5-6 minutes. And so he goes up and knocks on the door, and there's no answer. And we traded glances. Uh-oh, old guy, heart attack. So he tries the door. It opens. The light's not on. There's nobody in there. There's no other way out. We saw an old guy go into the bathroom at the taco joint. And it was the most, we just grinned and scratched the whole time we ate, and kept hoping he would show up again. And we've been back there at the same time of day a number of times now. You know, it's, you know, like an hour and a half from home. So that was our bathroom ghost that we both saw. That was the best apparition I've ever seen.
He just walked in and never came out again.
No, and he gave off nice vibes. He, you know, they usually do. I don't think if my husband hadn't had his eyes on that door the whole time, I would have assumed that he was a real guy and had walked in there and walked out again. And nothing ghostly about it.
But right, and
disappeared.
That's amazing. A full apparition, a solid looking apparition, interacting with matter. You know, opening the door.
And every little detail was there. And he was so real. He had hair. He had a little hat on. Had a pale yellow sweater and khaki pants. And he had a very nice erect posture. And he just looked pleasant. We never saw his face. We just saw him from behind.
Oh, my gosh.
And I wouldn't, you know, if I had been alone, I would have never known it was anything.
Right. It makes you wonder about things that go on around you every day of your life. The things you may miss.
Yeah, unless you're paying attention, specific attention, it's hard to catch all that.
Because who knows what could have happened to me today at work.
Well, the one time that I saw a ghost, it was a similar kind of thing in that it was real.
Oh, was that the night at Salem Walker?
Yeah, Saturday? And I almost put you through the window.
Yeah, you almost put me through the windshield of the car, yeah.
Yeah, I pulled around this bush because it's a U-shaped drive, and I pull around, there's a bush in the corners of the U, and so I'm turning left basically around this bush, and there's this guy standing there. Well, it's right there near the little roadway where you drive on. I slammed on the brakes, and Scott L. almost went right through the windshield of my car, and he's like, what? And I made a screeching sound, you know, because I was startled. I thought I might hit a person, you know, but there was nobody there.
Yeah, we got out and took a million pictures.
Yeah, it was just he wanted to show himself for that brief moment, I guess.
Sounds great. I wish I'd had a camera for the taco bathroom guy.
Yeah, but the thing is, you don't know.
No, you guys had no idea that was the case until after the fact, though.
Yeah, and I thought this guy who was standing next to the bush, I thought he was an actual person.
Yeah, they look real. The only other one I've ever seen looked real, and it was on the San Francisco Bay Bridge, and a whole lot of people on the Berkeley side had talked about it, but I purposely didn't find out where it was on the bridge. It's a very long bridge, and my friend and I were driving back into San Francisco after a party in Berkeley, and he fell asleep, and I was driving and kind of watching, hoping to see something, and I noticed what I thought was a cop kind of standing under, kind of in the shadows under a light. It was very late, probably 1 a.m, and there wasn't much color. It was sort of just a silhouette, but I got an image of a jacket, and he seemed to have a hat on, and then I realized there was no cop car. So the next day, I called my friend in Berkeley and asked where this apparition has been seen for years and years, since the 40s, I think it was. And that was it.
Wow.
Even though I knew it was there, I thought it was a real guy. But there was no police car to go with the figure. And it's not supposed to be a cop, but it was supposedly somebody whose car broke down on the bridge in the 40s or 50s, I don't remember, and got hit. And he's usually standing completely stock still. And that's what I saw. That's my only other one that I know of.
But, you know, I'm still thinking about this, though, now. My brain, the hamster decided to get back on the pig, earn his money. I never have thought about a scenario in that way concerning this, and that is just what you were talking about the tall man. How many times have we probably seen a full-blown apparition of somebody?
Right. And
not even thought about it. We may even talk to them.
Right.
Unless you have that definitive factor where you have confirmation, like you guys did at the end of it, where your husband stood there for 5-6 minutes, watching the door, nobody came out.
Yeah, I trust him.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he had a lot of motive to want to go into the bathroom.
Yeah, the incentive was there.
Full of motive.
He had a gallon of motive or whatever to get in that bathroom. So he was patiently waiting. I mean, he really wanted to do the right thing and wait for the guy to come out, you know, so that he could get in that bathroom. So he was anxious for the moment that guy walks out the bathroom. And the guy, obviously...
But he would have used the women's room, so there was nobody around except that another man came along, and he couldn't very well walk into the women's room with him.
So then it's like, old guy, maybe something happened. Yeah,
maybe it did happen.
Turned out it happened a long time ago,
Yeah,
not too long. Somewhere in the last 20 years, I'd say, by his looks.
Oh, man.
Oh, my goodness.
Classic old guy.
That's something to really think about, though. I never have thought about it that way. That, you know, there's always...
That's yet another thing to think about.
Just another thing for people to, our audience and your audience, Tamara, to think about, that have an interest in this. Weird.
Mind-bending.
Oh, I'm speechless on it. I really am speechless.
It is. The things we don't see are so interesting.
And they're right in front of us. They're right in front of us, and we're just not paying attention. And maybe that is the whole problem with what we're doing, is that we have to find a way... Well, we're paying attention, obviously.
Right.
But maybe we need to pay more attention.
Even more attention. Because if you don't... Well, the thing is, you're not going to cross-check every single thing you see, everything you experience in your daily life.
Well, yeah, you can't follow up everybody you see in a day that you don't know personally.
So what it's got to be is, I think it might have to be meant for you to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe just the right time of day, like a film deciding to run right at that moment... All the conditions are correct. You know, maybe there's something in the magnetics in the earth that are just right at that moment. And that house where we saw the trash can float up for a second or two, that was up there against the San Bernardino Mountains, and it's just loaded with ores, magnetic ores.
Wow.
Oh, okay.
So there's a lot of natural energy there anyway.
Yeah. And then if you look for telephone poles and all that stuff, you find those near big hauntings.
Mm-hmm.
My cat just jumped on my shirt that's hanging by the front door.
Grabbing a hold of it, dragging it down.
No.
Well, tell you what, we're almost done with Ghostly Talk, so I have to say thank you so much.
Thank you.
Is there anything that you wanted to let everyone know? I mean, do your website again at least.
Yeah, plug.
www.TamaraThorne.com, and there's a free newsletter if you want to subscribe. It's usually silly. I check out the fun house on the site. I'm not terribly serious about anything. I'm in a book called Devil's Wine that's coming out in October with Stephen King and Peter Straub.
Oh, man.
Poetry. I suddenly took up poetry to be with those guys. And
oh, that's so cool. Have you talked to them?
Yeah, you ever met Stephen King?
No, I've never met him. I've met Peter Straub, and I think I've met Ray Bradbury. But, you know, they're still there.
Wow, you met Ray Bradbury?
Oh, everybody's met Ray Bradbury in California.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I have to say the first scary book, I mean truly scary book I ever read, was Peter Straub's Ghost Story.
Oh, that's a good book.
And I was enthralled. Every page, I was scared to turn the page. And it was just amazing.
Did you ever read Fahrenheit 451?
No, I thought
Rad
Bradbury.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah.
Not nearly as good as the book.
Not quite the same?
The
okay.
book's amazing.
All right.
The book is straight up amazing.
Looks like I'm heading for the bookstore.
And it isn't a really long book either.
Because I got to get
pretty easy read.
I have to get more to Marathon because we've got just the one.
Yeah, we're going to be fighting over this. We got a taste of this thing earlier, so now me and Doug are like kind of tugging on each end of the book. And I think there's going to be a major brawl here in the Haunted Basement studio after the show to get this book, whoever's going to get home first and read it.
Right, because this is
so
good.
So Haunted is the book. That's sort of an homage or pastiche of Hill House, Hell House. Every cliche I can think of having to do with ghostly lore is in it.
Oh, too
and the
cool.
hero starts out like me, skeptical, and, you know, then things happen, and there's a lot of sex in that one, too.
Sweet.
You sold books just now.
Yeah, you can actually watch the pin counter go on Amazon.com.
I'm pretty sure.
You have to be very careful with your child that you never, if you had a boy child, not to, you know, to let him wash his own sheets when he reaches a certain age.
Yeah.
That sort of spurred on the idea of having the succubus attack my hero and having a nosy housekeeper and him having to do his own sheets.
I detect ghostly talk research happening.
Yeah.
We have to buy some of these books out of Ghostly Talk money for research.
Well, somebody else can buy them for us.
Oh, that's a good idea. We'll put
we have a wish list on Amazon. Yeah, we have a wish list on Amazon.com, people. Plug.
But I have to say, Tamara, thank you so much.
Yes, it was an honor to really speak to you. It was great to talk to you and have you on the show.
Keep us informed. We're going to subscribe to your newsletter. So if we see something really cool going on, we'll email you and say, hey, you've got to talk about this again.
I'll be glad to.
And if you want, call in anytime you want. Our lines are always open during the show from 7 to 9. So if you just want to drop in and say hello and go, hey, look, you guys are never going to believe what I saw last weekend. Feel free to drop in and say hi. We'll be glad to talk to you.
That's what we're here for.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Take care of yourself, Tamara.
Yeah, you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Tamara Thorne, ladies and gentlemen.
Tamara Thorne. She wrote The Forgotten, just 10 years worth of writing.
The big ones that's coming, that's out right now.
The one that just came out.
Well, the three-part series, the sorority, that's what's being pushed right now. That's what she has coming out. That's the series with, the first one's called Eve, and then the second one's called Marilyn, and then the third one's called Samantha.
And, of course, yeah, that's the sorority?
That's the sorority. That's the three-book series she has.
Three-book series.
They're coming out. They come out back-to-back June, July, and August. So they come out, you know, you read one, the next one comes out, you read the, you know, it's...
Yeah.
It's nonstop.
It's a lot of work. It's a lot of fun. She's a lot of fun.
Yeah, she is a lot of fun.
So
that's why I was so fun. I was really stoked on doing this interview because I actually got to talk. I had the pleasure of talking to her before we talked to her tonight.
And these are books you can go to the bookstore and get. I mean, you can order it online, of course.
You can go to B. Dalton or Borders or whatever you have in your town and pick up one of Tamara Thorne's books.
I'm so happy she allowed us to talk with her for an hour. Well,
yeah.
Actually, an hour and a half because of that. A little mistake.
Yeah, aside from that, everything went well.
I think so.
We've been having problems. Murphy decided to have a visit again tonight.
Yeah, Murphy.
Well, he might as well just move in.
Yeah, I'm gonna get a pillow and a blanket for him and just set it down here and might as well. You guys, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, yeah, we apologize about that. Hey, things happen though. We can't control that and Doug, the man with the quick fingers, he can usually get it going pretty quick, though, and he did.
This is live radio. Speaking of live radio, we are broadcast live from 7 p.m. Eastern to 9 p.m. Eastern on Sunday night on Zero Point Radio,
yeah.
www.zprradio.com.
Mm-hmm.
this particular week, this broadcast was done during their Summer Jam 2003. That was all live from noon until, well, until it ends, both days, Saturday and Sunday. This is the last day of the Summer Jam.
And you'll be back on again tonight.
I'm going to be back on tonight after the Alpha Show.
You're just playing the rock star this weekend.
I'm having so much fun.
You're like all hours of the day. You're talking on the radio.
Well, you know what? It's honoring Rez and RF for running CPR and for doing all the hard work that they do, and it's what I can do. Speaking of which, because of that little mistake, we didn't, you know, we were supposed to end the interview 20 minutes ago and donate live.
Yeah.
We don't have enough time now, so we're going to have to do it during Max's, or Alpha's show.
Okay.
We're going to have to do it during Alpha's show, so we didn't get to do that for you guys, but I'm going to be back on after Alpha's show to close out the Summer Jam, and...
Ah, wow, rock and roll.
I just can't believe it. I cannot believe it.
No, you did mention something kind of important. With the few minutes we do have left, Rez and RF, they're the ones that, you know, we talked about this a little bit last night about how we hooked up with those guys and how we got to know them and this and that and the whole love story. And, you know, the one thing that they've done for this show is they made us step up to the bat. I mean, they made us step up to the plate.
Step up to the plate.
I'm just such a smooth talker tonight. They made us step up and really take this show to a new level and take it to a whole new dimension.
Well, they helped. I mean, because Rez is like, because I heard the very first Resmerized, or the first and second Resmerized, and one of them, she had an interview with Cohen Phillips, who I actually mentioned on the show already. He did Return to the Woods, the fan film. And
which I still need to see that. I really need to see that.
Oh, you got to go there. I don't remember the URL. I'm sure you can get it off of Rez's site.
Yeah, so I've been meaning to check that out.
Right? Yeah, and if so, she's like, I said, well, how did you do that? And she's like, oh, you know, speakerphone. And there you go. And I'm like, oh, good idea. So we bought a mic.
Yeah, I remember you showed me the schematic for like what you had planned. And I'm like, what the hell is this? Yeah, well, see what we're going to do is we're going to run it to the server, then we're going to run it over here, then we're going to ping this, and we're going to get this going right here, and then, it'll take about 3 days for it to get going. You know, you have to crank start it from the little motor on the side, and then we'll have a live phone line. We'll have fun, Doug. Enjoy it, because I'm not going to be anywhere near this when you're doing it. And that's when, hey, well, how do you do it? Well, I just got a phone with a speakerphone. I didn't like that.
And I put a
I gave Doug one of those movie looks like we were talking about earlier. What?
So we do it, and so they helped us. They helped bring a whole new dimension to go through.
Yeah, well, they just we've reached a new level of professionalism, which I think we got less professional, but it works. So why work a good thing?
It's still information. It's still entertainment. Where I'm having fun. Uh-huh. I hope the listeners are having fun. That's all.
So we grow, they grow, everybody grows.
And
a lot of growing going on.
Yeah, really grow. This is a growth industry.
Growth.
Paranormal Talk Radio, right here.
The numbers right here reflect. No.
Thank you, Accountant Scott. So anyway,
we're losing money.
We're gonna close.
We've been losing money since we started this show.
Oh,
who cares?
It's
a money pit.
Go to zprradio.com. Click on donate.
Donate.
That's the Summer Jam.
That's it's coming from Doug and Scott L. All right. We're just we're telling you what it's all about.
We're here 2 hours showing our love. Show your love to ZPR.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody. Enjoy the rest of the live programming on Summer Jam.
All right. Well, I'm Scott L.
And I'm Doug.
And this was Ghostly Talk. We out of here. Yo.
True science will not deny the existence of things because they cannot be weighed and measured. It will rather lead us to believe that the wonders and subtleties of possible existence surpass all that our mental powers allow us clearly to perceive.
We must ignore no existence whatsoever. We may variously interpret or explain its meaning and origin, but if a phenomenon does exist, it demands some kind of explanation.
A quote from The Principles of Science, William Stanley Jevons, 1835 to 1882.